In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. And by the way, hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
God is a personal God. God is not distant and uninvolved with his creation. God is not a cipher, just a blank, without any type of personality at all. Because the one true God, the God of the Bible, is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God, three persons who interact with one another from even before creation, from all eternity. But this God, who interacts within his three persons, between his three persons, also interacts with you and with me. This God displays his personality, his personhood, if you will, when he becomes man in the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. God relates as personally to you as your flesh and blood, your skin and bones, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair. God relates to you as one who eats food, who digests food, who needs air, oxygen to stay alive. God relates to you as one who had blood course through his veins, and following the resurrection of our Lord, still has blood coursing through his veins. Not only does God relate to you, but he relates to you in a loving and caring manner. He relates to you as a shepherd relates to his sheep, but for one fact. The shepherd kept the sheep for someone else, and those sheep would be shorn of their wool for the profit of the owners. The sheep would be butchered, offered up in sacrifice in Israel. Their blood would be shed. But that is not what our Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks of himself in today's gospel reading as the Good Shepherd, expects of us, asks of us, or demands of us. Instead, we are told he lays down his life for the sheep. Let's put it this way. Jesus, your Good Shepherd, laid down his life for you. You, a sheep of his own flock, a sheep of his own redemption, one that he loves, one that he desires to give the gift of forgiveness and life eternal to. Jesus relates to you in love. The epistle for this third Sunday of Easter speaks of Christ as the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It concludes that you were once straying like sheep. Sheep going along, following their own noses. And thus you went astray. But you have now, by the grace of God, returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, the one who cares for you, again, the one who showed his love for you, demonstrated it to the full by laying down his life on the cross as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Again, he does not ask you to sacrifice your life for his benefit. Rather, he sacrifices his life and sheds his blood for your benefit. Now, today's epistle reading seems to start in the middle of nowhere. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. What is this to this mean? What does it refer to? So let's add a couple of verses onto that. Peter writes, for this is a gracious thing. When remembering God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. Wait a minute. What's all this talk about suffering? Why are we going to experience suffering at one time or another for our faith in Christ? Well, we live in occupied territory, if you will, territory occupied by the world, the flesh, our sinful nature, and the devil. These three, this unholy trinity, opposes God and thus opposes those whom God has redeemed. And if we are called to faith in Christ, and that's a rhetorical if, because we have been called to faith in Christ and brought to faith in Christ, we will experience suffering for the faith. Now, it's plain that everyone in the world experiences suffering, believers and unbelievers alike. But believers in Christ have this advantage that they are not alone in the things that they suffer. Rather, Christ, their good shepherd, is with them to watch over them in this suffering and to work it to their good. Unbelievers don't have that advantage. So, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so you might follow in his steps. That word for an example, it brings to mind the image of a child learning his or her letters. And the letters are kind of traced out on a sheet of paper, and the child traces over those letters, learning how to form letters, how to write legibly. In my case, it didn't take. Christ has left an example by his suffering, and from that example, we learn to face suffering too. Now, in this country, at present, we don't suffer for the faith as Christians do elsewhere in the world, in the Middle East or in Africa or in Asia, but we do experience difficulties from time to time on account of our faith. Okay, the example of Christ when he suffered. Peter goes on to say, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. This brings to mind our Lord's behavior, his attitude, the way he handled his time on the cross. He was cursed. He was mocked. He did not revile in return. He did not lie to try to get away from the cross. He boldly confessed who he was, the Christ of God. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he prayed for those who were causing him to suffer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And here we read that he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus would be vindicated by God in the resurrection on the third day. Christ's resurrection shows that he is whom he proclaimed himself to be. God the Son, God the Messiah, God the Redeemer of the world. God the Father vindicated Christ, proved him true, and confessed Jesus as his own Son, the Savior of the world, in the resurrection. What's more, the resurrection proves that God the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice for your sins. So, Christ's resurrection, which we confess in the Creed, is a way of saying, you are forgiven. You, Jessica, you, Trilby, you, you, Randy, you, Bill. When you confess the resurrection, you're confessing that in vindicating Christ, God has likewise vindicated and justified you. The Greek in this phrase, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly, doesn't exactly read like that. A literal translation would be continued entrusting to him who judges justly. And that would imply that Christ continued entrusting everything to the God who judges justly. Not merely himself, but his circumstances. The very act of being crucified. Christ entrusted his tormentors to the one who judges justly. Christ entrusted all things to the one who judges justly, and so can we, as we face sufferings for the sake of Christ, so can we, as we face sufferings by the mere fact of being fallen creatures living in a fallen world. We are vindicated by God, and the Lord God invites us and enables us to entrust ourselves to him. Now, Peter writes of Christ leaving us an example, and certainly we can follow his pattern of suffering. But there is one way in which we can never follow Jesus' example, and that comes in the final two verses of today's epistle. He himself, for emphasis, he himself, Jesus Christ, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. You can die for no one's sins. I can die for no one's sins. Even if I died for my own sins, it wouldn't benefit me. I would die as a lost and condemned creature. But Christ died for me. Christ died for you. He died for the world. And he bore each and every one of our sins in his own body on the tree of the cross. He bore them to carry them away from you, so that your sin is no longer upon you if you trust in Christ. It's not there. Sure, if someone wants to be headstrong and say, well, I don't need anyone to save me. Well, they're welcome to their sins, or they're welcome to the penalty of their sins. Their sins are still on Jesus. By his wounds, you have been healed. Your relationship to God has been restored. You are being made a new creation through Jesus Christ and through your baptism into his death and resurrection. You were straying like sheep. We all tend to do. There are times when The gifts of the gospel seem more important, more relevant to us than they do at other times, but they're always critically, vitally important and always critically and vitally relevant. But you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer, the bishop of your souls. Isn't that, after all, what you do every time you come to the divine service? You return to the shepherd of your souls. You return to the one who laid down his life for you and took it up again in the resurrection. You return to the one who speaks words of forgiveness to you. You return to the one whose voice is the very sound of mercy and love. You return to the one who has given you life eternal by uniting you to his own resurrected life. And as you return, your shepherd cares for you. He feeds you. The word feed and food recurs several times in the Old Testament reading for today. Christ feeds you with his word. He feeds you with his very body and blood offered up on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. He is the paschal lamb of which you eat, so that you, delivered by God's mercy in Christ, may go forth from this place knowing that Christ goes with you. God has personality. God is personally involved in your life. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on when you come to the altar. That's what was going on when you were baptized. God is not distant from you. God is intimately involved in your life. And he can be, and he is, because not only did Jesus take upon himself your human nature, not only did he die, but he was raised again, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, from which he dispenses heaven's gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.